Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are teaching from this foundational letter of the Protestant Church, that is the epistle of the Apostle Paul to Galatians, wherein he starts, he says he's his sent one, not of men, not by man, but by God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. Another foundation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. New life. New life. That, it's not change in the old life, it's new life. Jesus says, flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. For 2,000 years, the church has been teaching other. The church has been teaching, oh, this old man can become perfect. And having said that, they put that on you and said, we shall see if you're truly a Christian. Because if you're truly a Christian, you will do this and not do that. I reject, as Martin Luther rejected, the epistle of James. Historically, it was not even accepted as scripture until 500 years, or I'm sorry, 400 years after the New Testament was written. It doesn't get in to the category of canonical for 400 years. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying it because I was looking up some words from the teaching today, and I was looking the word liberty up. And there was some commentary, and I hate when people take liberty in bad teaching of the word, because they made some reference to a verse in the book of James 1:25, and it said to get instruction, I'm paraphrasing, but to get instruction in right living as a Christian. In other words, we're going to be able to see that you're a Christian. Folks, I've been at this for over 4 decades. I've met all kinds in my time in traveling this country, telling the history of how we got the Bible, over 3 decades involved in the Bible Museum, giving tours on the history of the Bible. I've met all kinds. I've met, well, I'm going to save that story. Like the great pastor I had, I truly believe in the born-again experience. That is, not the flesh being born again, but a new creature in Christ. And that new creature in Christ is formed by faith. Christ is formed in our hearts by faith. When he is in us, we are in him. Now, does the indwelling of the life, that particle of God that he puts in us, of that life, that particle of Jesus Christ that he puts in us, does it change the flesh? Yeah, it does. But not to any perfection. For as long as we are in this fleshly body, we are sinners. But as this Galatian letter starts out, that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He didn't just give himself for those sins that we committed before we came to know Jesus, but the sins, because of our sinful nature that we're even doing today and will do tomorrow, and until the Lord calls us home, we'll continue to do. God laid on him all past, present, and future sins. That's the gospel, or that's part of the gospel. But the new man, the inward man, the new man in Christ Jesus lives by faith, not by sight. He's not, she's not performing for others to see that she or he is a Christian. You can't see it. It's in you. And no man knoweth the heart but God. That's why we're not to judge anybody. And as we go further on into this teaching, we'll address that subject as well. But today, we're going to start back where we left off. That is in the 21st verse of the 4th chapter, and I hope that God has given you ears to hear what is about to be said, because from the first chapter until now in this letter to the Galatians, Paul has been trying to put the law in its proper place, which has nothing to do with Christian performance. And he says, he's talking to his children. He's talking to those children who have become part of the family of God our Father. And he says to them, Let's go to the 20th verse. He says, our desire to be present with you, he's been pounding them. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. For I'm perplexed by you, and I am perplexed that this message of Galatians has been virtually lost to the people who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, which is his church, for 2,000 years, at least for 1,900 years. For there came a change in the preaching and teaching of the gospel about 70 to 100 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to get into it a little bit further today. This is the seventh message, so if you want to catch up, you need to go to thegodschool.com and listen to the previous six messages. So Paul goes on and he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written. That Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Now, the stories are found in the 15th through 21st chapters of Genesis. God had promised to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. And Sarah was barren and had no son, but they had the promise. So they had a committee meeting, and they determined, God said, therefore, they were going to bring it about their own selves. And Sarah says to Abraham, here, God said, so, you know, and I'm barren, so you take my handmaid, Hagar, and, you know, you go into the tent and, you know, see what comes out. Abraham and Hagar in the tent, in the flesh, produced Ishmael. But the promise of God was that through Sarah, Abraham would bear a son, and that was by promise. Look, both acts were virtually the same, the one with Hagar and the one with Sarah. But the one with Hagar was of the flesh. The one with Sarah was by promise. Paul goes on to say, which things are an allegory. That is, he's telling one story by another. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, testaments, the Old Testament, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, Greek for Hagar. name in the Old Testament, which gendereth to bondage. The law. For this Agar is Sinai in Arabia, and I just want to throw this in because I've been there. Traditions which make void the word of God has Mount Sinai in Egypt. And Paul very clearly says, and Paul wasn't mixed up in his geography, Paul clearly says, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Give that to your traditional teachings of where Moses got the law from God. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which answereth to Jerusalem, which is in the same rank to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. We've already heard the stories about those coming from James and what Peter's hypocritical response was when those who came from James, those who came from Jerusalem, when he was eating and having a good time with the Gentiles, what his hypocritical response and what the other Judaizers' hypocritical response was when those who came from Jerusalem showed up. Answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. It says, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate shall have many more children than she which has an husband. Now, I have to tell you, when I came across this verse, it troubled me a little bit because I've always had a little different understanding of the context of this verse, which comes out of Isaiah 54:1. But with God's help, I believe, I have every confidence. Forget about believe. I have every confidence that Paul knows exactly why he quoted this verse. And in order to understand Galatians, we need the context of the letter to the Romans and the letter to the Hebrews, as well as Galatians. If you had all three, you have enough of God's word to know what the truth is, because all three, the fulcrum of all three is Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. And faith is acting on the promises of God, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. As he said, so shall he do, and as he has spoken, so shall it be. The word. But what's Paul talking about here? Let's go to the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. Know ye not, brethren? And I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which has an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Sixth verse says, but now are we delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter or the law. I added the law. We are free from the law. Paul goes on in the 10th chapter of Romans and he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. This word in the Greek speaks of enlightenment. They haven't seen what God in Christ has done for those he has chosen. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that phrase, if it were properly translated, the just, the righteous shall live by faith, the righteous of God, that gift of God, part of his grace, the gift of God of his own righteousness. They haven't been enlightened yet. Those in the church today that teach and preach the law, the do-dos and the don't-dos, and if you were, then you wouldn't, and you wouldn't if you were, those things that wherein they attempt to make a show of us by saying, let me see, James, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Well, you can add the rest. Back to Galatians. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. What promise? God's promise. Our very salvation is dependent upon God. Excuse me. Is dependent upon God and His faithfulness to His word. And God gave this, which we call the Bible, a revelation of Himself, and from cover to cover, the testimony is God is faithful, and He is looking for those, and He has chosen those who will trust Him. And even that faith is a gift of God. Now we are the children of God by promise, but what does it say? As then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We're not bound. We are set free. I want to go to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 31st verse says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, which faithed on him, if ye continue, what? To do the law? If you continue to perform up to the expectation of the law? No, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. That's a lie. To any man, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, amen, amen. No doubt, put no doubt in whatever I say. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, many commentaries on this next verse, which actually should be the 32nd verse of the 4th chapter, instead of the first verse of the 5th. Sometimes the way they separated chapters is it defies logic. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of the law, fleshly performance. God has given you for faith his Spirit, and now has set us free from any requirement of fleshly performance. The flesh is flesh. The Spirit is Spirit. And God has given unto the sons and daughters of his family his Spirit. And we'll pick up there next time. For now, that's the God School for today.